We've got predators hunting us again, a kid named White Boy Rick, and a simple favor to ask. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies.
I feel like this is a good song for the Predator, right?
I like it. This is good. I'm rocking.
All right, guys. Hello, everyone. And welcome to the LAOFCS weekly show. This is episode number 7. I am Kit Bowen, a.k.a. The Movie Kit. I'm filling in for Scott Menzel, who is out of town this week. So I'm filling in, so I don't look like Scott, but I'll try my best. I'm a film critic and editor for ScreenPicks.com and also a member of the LA Online Film Critics Society. And I'm really jazzed to be here talking about movies with my very two esteemed friends, colleagues, also members of the LA Online Film Critics Society, Jimmy Oster and Nestor Bentancourt.
That was a beautiful pronunciation.
That was lovely.
Let me tell you.
Tell the fine people about you guys.
You go first.
No, Nestor goes first.
Okay, I go first. My name is Nestor Bentancourt. I'm a critic, entertainment journalist, etc., etc., and I'm the editor-in-chief of the website There's a Hollywood, and I do things for some TV shows, and I have a YouTube channel, and I am being part of this show today, and that's awesome.
Oh, yeah. It is amazing. Awesome.
It is awesome. The bromance love here, by the way.
Oh, there's so much bromance love right now.
Can you feel the love?
Wait, are we going to get sued for singing that?
No, okay, good. It's so good.
That'd be bad. Good. Yeah. Hey, I'm Jimmy O. I work for JoeBlow.com and Arrow in the Head. And yes, I'm a part of this lovely group of people, and I'm excited to be here with my little bromance buddy.
Yeah,
that's sweet.
We've got four movies to talk about. We're going to talk about four movies that are coming out this week, but we're going to start with the biggie, The Predator. Why did they just call it The Predator rather than, like, I don't know, Predator version 2?
Predator 2.0? Predator's back.
They already have Predators. So
Predators. Yeah, I like that. I like that one.
Yeah.
They should have gone that
way. So the next one is going to be Predator 2. We are number 2.
Oh, that'd be kind of cool, actually. The Predator 2.
The Predator 2.
Yeah,
Fast and the Furious style. There are so many good ideas coming out of this franchise, so you never know.
Oh, they could go Pred 2.
Pred 2,
yeah.
Well, let me just read the description here. It's, when a young boy accidentally triggers the universe's most lethal hunter's return to Earth, only a ragtag crew of ex-soldiers and a disgruntled science teacher can prevent the end of the human race.
Directed by Michael Bay. No, that sounds like a
It's actually directed by Shane Black.
Yeah.
He was starred in the original, if you guys all remember that.
Yeah.
And he co-wrote this as well. It stars Boyd Holbrook, Olivia Munn, Jacob Tremblay, Sterling K. Brown, Keegan-Michael Key, Thomas Jane, Trevante Rhodes, and a whole bunch of other people.
A lot of people.
I'm going to let you guys start off. What?
Well, let me tell you,
let's settle in now.
Sometimes we complain about, you know, blockbusters that they are not R-rated. And we demand, like, let's make a bloody movie and and give us characters that are multidimensional and they have color, they're not bland and everything. This movie is telling us, be careful what you wish for, because it's going to be just too much of that. I mean, talking about the characters, I don't know what to tell you. When you have a movie with aliens running around and alien dogs, you know, hashtag Predator dogs.
Well, the dogs were cute.
They were cute.
That's true.
Yeah.
So when you have that, and the less believable part are the human characters, I think that's a problem.
It's a problem.
Yeah.
You think?
I think so. There's just too much color into these characters. You know, I like my food with some seasoning, but it's just too much. It's just too much salt and pepper on every single thing. Too many quirks.
Leave salt and pepper out of this.
Salt and pepper.
Welcome to the jungle.
We're doing that one. Sorry, I was thinking salt and pepper.
So,
Deadpool, man.
So, talking about Deadpool, you know, that's a good reference. The movie wants to walk this line. You know, it's okay, let's tell a very intense adventure and at the same time, let's wink on the camera and make fun of what we are doing. Mm-hmm. And that is very tricky. And something that Deadpool was able to pull that off.
Brilliantly.
This movie fails because you're not feeling the thrills, you're not feeling the horror. The comedy, for me, talking about quantity, too excessive, talking about quality, very poor, talking about style, too self-referential. So I love Shane Black, and I love his style for, you know, crime movies, cop movies, film noir or something like that. Yeah. But for something like that, it just felt out of place.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of problems with this film. I mean, the thing is, I had a fun time watching the guys bicker and fight. I thought the dialogue, and maybe that should be credited to Fred Decker, who did Night of the Creeps, which was such a great, cheesy little B horror movie. He also did Monster Squad, which everyone loves. It's a fun movie.
Right.
But with this, it's like they have these cool characters that are kind of funny, but it's so everything is extreme. The every other word is the F word. I can't say that here, can I?
No.
The violence is extreme, but they tried to throw so much in. You feel like you're missing chunks of the movie. Like things disappear. Some character gets to one place, and you're like, "How the heck did that happen?
Yeah.
That makes no sense." It was just nonsensical. It was clunky. But I mean, I guess I laughed a few times. So I don't know. It was. Not great.
No, I actually like Shane Black too, and he's really, really good at the banter. Which is what I think was the most enjoyable part of this movie. Was
I agree.
That these group of ex-soldiers, like I guess Black Ops, whatever, they were all damaged in some way. And Keegan-Michael Key and Thomas Jane and all these guys and Theon Greyjoy from Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. Alfie Allen, I think that's his name. Anyway,
yeah, Alfie Allen. Yeah.
I enjoyed that. I mean, there were a couple of scenes that really did make me laugh out loud. The hotel room scene was really, really funny.
Lot to laugh at.
They played that at Comic-Con and I guess got everybody jazzed about the movie.
Yeah.
But it was just way too convoluted. It didn't have to be this so all over the place. It's like, okay, all of a sudden, you know, here. Because the idea of Predator, for me, the original movie, was just cool. Because... You know, as you know, for alien type movies, it was about an alien who's a sports hunter.
Yeah,
I mean that's kind of cool.
Well, it was also too the transition between the kind of war type thing, whatever was going on with Schwarzenegger, to a monster movie was pretty seamless and very well done.
Yeah,
very well thought out. It worked. This one, I couldn't tell you what was going on.
Well, they're trying to set up. Maybe they're trying to set up like a franchise. Something. I'm not sure.
The best thing I can say about this movie is, I was watching it thinking, oh my god, this could be a really good sequel. They could really make a good sequel out of this.
Maybe,
but that was it. I mean, it wasn't, you know, it was such a haphazard type, let's throw everything but the kitchen sink in.
I'm talking about the action and the gore, you know, I mean, there's a point that I'm thinking, okay, what is this, a movie or a video game, you know? Obviously, you need some CGI in a movie like this, but especially when you have...
There was some bad CGI.
when you have the bigger Predator, the XXL Predator... I'm not feeling anything. I mean, when you have the practical dude running around in a suit, that works, talking about the action. When it comes to that kind of bigger CGI, it's like, I don't like the CGI blood. Everything looks kind of too digital. And I don't know. I'm not feeling anything. I'm not laughing. I'm not... It's like, okay, I was a witness of the movie.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I felt nothing.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I kind of liked the guys.
Hmm?
And that kind of carried me away. And I also liked Sterling K. Brown. Who
I like seeing him play heavy.
Yeah, he played kind of a bad guy. And he sort of did it, you know, kind of chewing the scenery a little bit.
It worked, though.
Like, literally chewing. He was chewing gum through the whole thing. And but I just kind of liked the way he would, like, you know... kind of give these looks. And Jacob Tremblay is also in it, too. I mean, there's that whole side of it as well.
Great cast.
Yeah.
Fantastic cast. And great dialogue, but just clunky as hell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not quite. So what is your favorite Predator movie, then? The first one?
Oh, I mean, for sure. The question is, except the first one, what is the favorite? And that's a tough question. I think that this movie makes look the Predators movie way better.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that one also had Walton Goggins, and he was kind of amazing in that one.
Mahershala Ali, yeah, Adrian Brody.
Yeah, that was pretty fun.
Topher Grace. Yeah, that's a great cast.
Yeah.
They get great.
Well, Danny Glover in Predator 2. Actually, I think I preferred Predator 2 over this one. But I think that's partially nostalgia on my part, you know, remembering watching as a kid and going, oh my gosh, this is cool. But yeah, it's...
I'm going to say a guilty pleasure of mine that I watch on when it's on is Alien versus Predator.
Wow.
Yeah, I do. I do.
I think this one... I think this one is better than Alien Covenant for me, personally.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Personally.
If you're going to... compare all that,
yeah.
Well, I mean, like I said, I think I had probably a little more fun with this than maybe you guys did, but overall, yeah, just a little too convoluted for convoluted sake, and not enough, you know, clear cut what's going on.
Although I will say, I love that they made the kid with autism like kind of a hero. That was cool. I like seeing that. That was awesome. More of that, please.
And then he's also.
If you want to see a good Predator movie, get to the chopper.
Yes. If we could do the handshake, I would do it, but I don't think. We
definitely need a Schwarzenegger, right? Just a glimpse of Schwarzenegger.
Well, there's talk he may be in the sequel. So I mean, let's face it, it's going to make money, and there will be a sequel. And if it has Schwarzenegger, a lot of us are really going to probably go see it.
At Disney, we don't know what's going to happen.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
Okay, so moving on. Let's talk about the next kind of bigger one that's coming out, A Simple Favor, which I'm so bummed I got a chance. I'm bummed I missed this one. I really kind of wanted to see it. I like both those actresses. Quickly, the synopsis is that centers around Stephanie, played by Anna Kendrick, is a mommy blogger who seeks to uncover the truth behind her best friend Emily's sudden disappearance from their small town. Emily, played by Blake Lively, and this is directed by Paul Feig, interestingly enough.
Mm-hmm.
But Nestor,
yes,
you are the only one who got the chance to
tell us. Let me tell you, I already liked everybody involved in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of the kind of movie that you watch it and you start loving everybody. I love this film. If you are a murder mystery fan in particular, you have to be happy. You have Searching in theaters right now.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. And this movie, you know, you can see some similarities with something like Gone Girl or Girl on a Train.
Okay.
But this one has its own spin. It is very refreshing. The way they switch tones from one second to the next is masterful.
Interesting.
I don't like throwing the title of Get Out around that much. And it's not a masterpiece like Get Out, but it's a great example of how you can do different tones and make it work, and that is something very difficult. And I like the fact that many times you have murder mystery with comedy in movies, but it's always the comedy the main ingredient, you know?
Yeah.
In this movie, I think that the thriller, the mystery is the main ingredient, and it is peppered with comedy, and both work. So I had a great time. 2 hours fly by. You are guessing from beginning to end. I had a blast with this movie.
Well, I think Anna Kendrick is such an under... I think she's fantastic. Fantastic. I like seeing her take on these kinds of roles. I like seeing her, and that's why I'm like dying to see this movie.
Perfect casting.
I've heard the word Hitchcock being thrown around about this one.
Yeah, I mean, it is very stylish, but... I don't know. I mean, you can throw the name Hitchcock around many times.
Yeah, you can.
But I like the fact that it's not just, let's try to be this Hitchcockian movie. It's bold and it's trying to do its own thing and it works. So go see it.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Wow, the high praise.
And Paul Feig is also a director I've kind of come to admire.
I really like him.
Different
quite a bit.
Ways.
Yeah.
And here he's kind of stretching himself because he usually does comedies, you know.
He's very smart and he's very sharp when it comes to his humor. So I'm very...
Have you guys ever had a chance to talk to him?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah, and he's lovely. He's the best dresser. I mean, you walk in the room and you're like... Oh my gosh, you look like you walked out of, like, off the runway. You're just so classy and really a kind human being. I really enjoy him, and just every time I've interviewed him, it's been an absolute pleasure.
I took a photo with him. Does that count?
That counts.
Yeah.
And you were talking about Anna. I think, you know, she is underrated. She, you know, it's because she can be so, she can also hit or miss as far as her movies are concerned. It seems like she likes to take on, you know, all kinds of different projects. But I really would like to see her at some point dig really deep. You know, I think she's got it in her.
Like Pitch Perfect 4? We could do that.
Oh my gosh, everyone hated that other Pitch Perfect, that last
Pitch. I didn't
hate
it. I thought it was okay.
I thought it was okay, too. I mean, it was really dumb.
It was really cheesy, but I liked it.
And Blake Lively is another one.
Yeah, she's terrific. She's terrific.
I mean, you know, The Shallows came out. What was that, last summer? I can't remember, but that was
two summers ago.
That was, you know, fantastic for a Shark movie.
A lot of fun.
And what's the movie she did with the two guys? That crime one.
Savages.
Savages.
Yeah.
She was really good in
that. She was.
She was.
Yeah. She's a marvel. There's a lot of talent on it. I mean, you have. I was sold before. Now I'm.
I'm extra sold
by my bromance partner.
And Blake Lively, you know, there are many actresses that can play this role because it's not only, okay, you have to be stunning, super beautiful, but again, somebody that can go into a kind of dark territory, but you always like her.
Yeah.
And the presence, and she's a badass in the movie, and she does so many things. Again, flipping things in a second. So... I think it's one of my favorite movies of the year so far.
Wow. Wow. Really high praise.
Yeah.
Was the ending kind of twisty and fun and like...
Yeah.
I mean, clearly won't give it away. But.
Yeah, but it's a whole journey.
Tell us what happened. Tell us everything that happens.
Yeah. Actually, we're going to recreate the... Yeah. It's going to be a murder mystery.
We're going to do it right here live.
Yeah. Who's going to die?
We need martini glasses, though. I think that's what we need.
Yeah. The weapon is going to be the microphone.
James, bring the martini glasses out.
All right, well, I'm sold on this. Start it.
Yeah.
I wish I could have... Because apparently there was like three screens in one night, and I'm like, I had to pick one.
Yeah.
I picked White Boy Rick, so we'll talk about that one in a little bit. But the next one that's coming out is a smaller movie that I will actually get a chance to see at some point very soon, actually. Lizzie. What's the rhyme? Lizzie Borden.
Had an axe.
Gave her mother 40 wax when she saw what she had done. Gave her father 41 or something like that. Right?
That's lovely. I like that. I think that's it. That sounds right to me.
I'm from Uruguay. I don't know.
Yeah, you don't know. You don't know.
You've never heard of the Lizzie Borden story?
Not that much, actually. And I'm not a fan of true crime or anything. So.
Oh, you're not.
You know.
Yeah, he doesn't like to commit crimes. It's weird.
No.
I don't know why.
On camera tonight, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe. We're working on that.
Yeah. Well, it is based on the Lizzie Borden story, which is a true story about this woman at the turn of the century who killed her mother, her father and her stepmother, I think.
Allegedly
killed. Well, no, wasn't she convicted?
Allegedly. Yeah, but it was. It feels like there was a lot of questions that... Which hopefully the movie will delve into.
Yes, yes.
Which,
but in this particular iteration of Lizzie Borden, she, played by Chloe Sevigny, actually has a dalliance, affair maybe, with Kristen Stewart's character, who plays a housemaid?
Housemaid,
or something. Yeah. So it looks. Rather, I've heard some really good things about it, but...
Look, the thing with Kristen Stewart is, you know, it's been a while, so we can talk about this without feeling sick. The Twilight movies are gone, and she's proven many times over that she actually has a lot of talent. She's a very talented actress. I like what she's been doing lately.
Yes.
I've liked pretty much Personal Shopper, I believe.
Yeah.
She's such an interesting actress, and I think she's really trying hard to... step away from those type of roles, and Chloe is obviously an incredible talent. I'm excited to see those two together and how it all plays out.
Yeah.
I really like the story. I do like true crime when it's well done, but it's easy to get a little, I don't know, melodramatic and silly.
So, Nestor?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I saw a movie and I...
Sorry, Nestor's our main expert.
He's seen everything today.
Thank you, guys. It's my show. And this is what I think. I like the movie, but I think it's important to keep in mind that it is mainly a drama. You know, if you're looking for, oh, let's see this horror movie or this sexual thriller, because they were kind of promoting that side of the film.
Yeah, for sure.
But it's just a small part of the, you know.
So it's basically the between the two, just a love story almost.
Yeah, I mean, more than a love story, I would say there is a friendship that starts kind of a survival thing, because both of them are pretty much like prisoners, you know, in this house, prisoners of the time, of this patriarchal society, of this man that is kind of, you know, violent, and they are both suffering some kind of abuse, either psychological abuse or physical abuse. So this bond starts for as a way for them to, you know, try to escape that everyday hell. And I like the movie in the sense that at the same time there is a kind of character study, is also painting a bigger picture of those times that have echoes of, you know, we can feel that even today. So every character and every dynamic is not just telling the story of these characters, but more people, you know. So I think that that was pretty cool. And I like the fact that throughout the movie you're feeling this tension, you know. It's a kind of very stylish, kind of gothic atmosphere, but you're feeling this tension and this anger, you know, growing and growing. And I really like the ending that I'm not going to spoil, but it's the right ending for this movie. And you have that catharsis, that explosion of violence, and the way that it is portrayed, it was very satisfying.
I have a weird question. Now, with the way you're talking about it, I think one of my favorite movies is Peter Jackson's Heavenly Creatures.
Oh, I love movie.
Does it follow that kind of feel?
I mean, again, I think that it's closer to
older, but yeah.
No, it's closer to the dramatic and to the what is going on inside the characters and the unspoken sometimes. So I don't know. I think that it is more in those kind of more subtle tones and territories. I like it. It's not like an award.
It's not gonna,
contender.
You don't think so?
Okay.
I don't think so. But it's solid. Yeah. You know. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. Well, Scott Menzel actually is being quoted all over the trailers and everything about the ending being like, you know, taking your breath away is what his quote is being.
Well, I need to see this too.
Yes, we're going to rush right home and watch all of these
exactly.
movies and go see them right away. But speaking of another true story, we're going to talk about White Boy Rick, which I saw. Da-da-da-da.
It's not my show anymore.
Yours. Yeah, it's her show now.
This is a story of teenager Richard Wersher. Is that how you say his last name? I don't know.
Sounds good
Junior,
to me.
Who became an undercover informant for the FBI during the 1980s and was ultimately arrested for drug trafficking and sentenced to life in prison. It stars Matthew McConaughey, who plays the father, Belle Powley.
Oh, I like her a lot. She's
got
great.
Such an interesting look.
She's a very and a fantastic actress.
What's it, Diary of a Teenager?
Yeah,
or something?
Yeah
that
what
was
an amazing movie.
Yeah.
Wow.
Also, Jennifer Jason Leigh is in this.
Huge fan of hers.
She's really good. Eddie Marsden is in it. I love him. But the newcomer who plays the young teenager is Richie Merritt. Never done a movie before.
This was his first film.
First film. Actually, I watched a little interview with Matthew McConaughey on Tonight Show, and he was saying that they hadn't, you know, they had basically had the movie pretty much together, but they hadn't found the kid. And they, his name is Richie. Yeah, Rick. Anyway, they couldn't find it. So they started doing sort of a, you know, wide cast, you know, net out there, and they were in a high school, I guess, or someplace, and they go, yeah, we're looking for this kind of a character. We're looking for this type of performer. And then they went into the principal's office, and they were explaining what they were going to, I guess, maybe hold an open audition at this high school. And then he goes, you should get this guy right here. And this it was the kid sitting in the principal's office because he was in detention or something. Because this little S-H-I-T right here, he said, you know, you should talk to him. And he ended up getting it. He ended up getting the role.
Wow.
He had no idea who Matthew McConaughey was. Matthew said, we had set up a meeting to, you know, to meet, and we were in a bar, and, you know, and I saw him kind of walk in. I figured that was who he was. And he says, "Hey, are you Richie?" And he goes, "Yeah." He goes, "Oh, it's Matthew McConaughey." He goes, "Oh, okay, cool." It's like he had no idea who he was.
That's awesome.
I know that. So that kind of put a whole like different spin on this movie. I definitely enjoyed this movie. I thought it was, pretty fascinating story about this kid, and it takes place in Detroit in the 1980s. So there's, you know, all of that kind of ambiance going on. It kind of brings you into that world. I guess what I was a little disappointed about was it's not so much about the story of this kid and all these like wild things that he did, because he really, it's something you've seen before. You know, mm-hmm. you've seen someone be lured in to be an informant. You've seen those kind of movies, but you know, I think they were trying to make this seem like, oh, well, this was so amazing because this kid was only 15 and, you know, he became an FBI informant at 15 and all this, and then a drug, you know, a huge drug kingpin. And it didn't really kind of delve into the kind of, you know, outrageousness of what this kid did or what happened to him. It was really more of a family drama.
Really?
Yeah, because Matthew McConaughey plays this, you know, single dad. The mom has taken off, so you know they've just left him with the kids. And Belle Pally's character, she's the older sister, and she's, you know, she's a drug addict. And there's this whole like sort of part of that of, you know, trying to get her clean, and then, you know, the whole Richie story, and McConaughey really, really does a nice job with this. I mean, I know he's a good actor, and he seems to not ever want to be pretty anymore in his movies, so that's okay.
I think he kind of went from that. He was a romantic guy in all those Kate Hudson movies, and then he's like, oh,
then
wait,
he lost
I can actually
got an Oscar, and now he goes, I'm not going to be pretty anymore. I'm going to play really grungy guys all the time.
All the time.
So this guy has a mullet. What I really appreciated about this character is that he really cared about his kids. You know, even though the circumstances was, you know, pretty white trash, and Bruce Dern and Piper Laurie play the grandparents who live right across the street from them, and they have this whole scene in the street where they're just screaming at each other, and it was just, I don't know, I liked the whole family dynamics, and I thought the idea of this father who was just trying to do what he could for his kids. He was basically selling guns out of the back of his car. He would go and buy them, and that's kind of how Richie's sort of, you know, crime came from, his crime MO came from. But yeah, I think it was more about the family drama than it was about the story itself.
I like this cast a lot, and I love seeing Jennifer Jason Leigh kind of coming back, because she was, for a while there, every movie she'd make, you'd be like, why didn't she get an Oscar nomination for this? She's fantastic. Last Exit to Brooklyn. Even Single White Female, she was great. Yeah. So I like seeing her. How substantial is she a part of this world?
Well, she plays one of the FBI, one of the FBI agents who sort of corrals this kid in.
Oh, nice.
And to be honest with you, you know, I'm not giving anything away. The story, they pretty much shafted the kid, because he ends up getting busted for having, they passed some law where if you have over 650 grams of some kind of, you know, drugs or whatever, then you get a life sentence.
Oh, wow.
So that's what happened. And so they try to make a deal, and the kid gets put away. And he, at the very end, but basically he was in prison for like most of his, like 30 years of his life. So, and he just got out, I guess, or something like 6 months ago. So, so she plays not a very nice person, but she's also
like
trying,
seeing that from her.
She's also trying to do her job, you know, and doing what she can. So, and she's really not, she's kind of wasted in a way. Really McConaughey's movie and the kid, because they make the core of the film. Isn't there another movie coming out though with Matthew McConaughey that they're all touting for him to be nominated for?
Yeah, he's going to have a pretty good year probably. Yeah.
I mean, he has a thriller with Anne Hathaway called Serenity.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Serenity, right?
Yeah, but maybe he has something else. He's a busy guy.
He is a busy guy. He likes to work apparently.
Serenity is the one I'm thinking of Actually, I just saw a trailer too for a new Harmony Korine,
yeah.
The Beach Bum. He looks really bad at that.
Yeah. I love the fact that he, after Lincoln Lawyer, he's just like, you know, I'm going to really... He became very picky about his roles, and he... Well, maybe not picky. Maybe that's not the right word. But he chose smart characters, smart movies, even if they weren't wholly successful.
Yeah.
They were challenging to him, and it shows.
Yeah. Well, I think when Dallas Buyers Club came out, he also had done the True Detective right around the same time.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, wow, where is this man that got it came from? You know, so yeah. They were...
McConaissance.
That's what they called it.
That's
He's
true.
Absolutely right. That's what they
that
called it.
That is true, yeah.
So, yeah, I would highly recommend this. I'm trying to think if it... It might not stretch for Oscars. I'm not entirely sure. If it would be Matthew, but I'm not sure because, like I said, I think there's a couple other things coming up with him.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if he does get nominated for that because it would be supporting.
It would be supporting.
And they love to nominate the people who've been won or been nominated before. So
true.
It's, you know.
Yeah.
But he'll get nominated, most likely.
I think so. I think he might get nominated.
Yeah, it seems like it. That's the buzz I'm hearing.
So anyway, so now we're going to go to the new segment, the Retro Rewind. So basically, it's movies that you can currently watch either via Blu-ray or on Netflix or some sort of streaming network. I'm going to start because the White Boy Rick kind of ties right into the... I'm hearing music. Do you hear music?
I hear music. I'm not sure why.
I don't know. I put on news music. I don't know if you guys want it.
Oh, okay.
That's
go
cool.
for it.
That's fine.
I like
cool.
it.
Cool news music. Burn After Reading.
Mm.
I think it's one of the most underrated Coen brother movies of all time. No one ever talks about Burn After Reading. They talk about Fargo, of course. That's still probably my most favorite. But for true crime, and you might not be the fan of true crime, I thought Burn After Reading was tremendous. Brad Pitt literally left me on the floor laughing.
Brad Pitt. He was funny, and he was so
and
good.
George
that.
Clooney
oh
and Frances McDormand. It is just, you know, and it deals with CIA. It deals with... And John Malkovich is in it, and it's just Tilda Swinton. I mean, the cast is amazing, and it just bounces around all, you know, with all these different sort of scenarios. And then J.K. Simmons pretty much nails it at the very end. He goes, so what have we learned from this? I don't know. And then it just comes right up out of the, you know, the camera just goes straight up, and it's just... I just love that. And so I am a big true – I actually do like true crime movies and shows and podcasts and anything to do with true crime. I'm like, yes, tell me more.
Yeah.
And I think the Coens have pretty much nailed it. Do
yeah.
you agree that they're the best at making those kinds of movies?
They're all right. They're pretty good at it, yeah. They're not bad. They're all right filmmakers, yeah. They're all right.
So, yeah, I think it's playing on Netflix now, Burn After Reading. Definitely check it out. How about you, Jimmy? What's yours?
Well, you know, I was thinking about this because we have a lot of different kind of movies here. But I chose Monster, and I was thinking about one of my favorites and one of the most profound horror films, I think, The Descent.
Ugh.
That, you know, the opening of this movie is so heartbreaking and so just like, no way, that didn't just happen.
Right.
And it takes, I believe, about 40 minutes to get to any monster, but it's still freaking terrifying.
Terrifying.
These girls, they go splunking, right? They go into these rocks and they're just that kind of claustrophobic, the tension between the actors. It is one of the most powerful, horrifying horror films I've ever seen. And then you get to the monsters. It's Neil Marshall, I think, he really knows tension, and he does I believe he did a very good job with Game of Thrones at one point. He's a master at suspense when it comes to that kind of thing, and I really love that movie, and the sequel, not so much, but,
yeah.
You know, yeah, what a powerful film.
Nestor gave you a face there, Jimmy.
Yeah, no, the sequel is something else.
Yeah, it's something else, all right.
Yeah, and I think that he's doing Hellboy, right?
The new
Hellboy.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he's great. He has a great eye, and the tension in that film and the horror and the gore and everything works, and it's a nightmare that you don't want to wake up from, you know? It's spectacular.
Yeah.
I actually like both endings. I like the UK, I believe it was UK version, and the American ending, which were different.
Oh.
I actually like both endings.
Really?
There's one I prefer. And there's one where it's not so happy. Mm. And I like that one a lot.
It must be the UK one, because the US always ends things happy. So.
Yes.
It is. Yeah. And actually, my pick can be a great double feature with yours, because it's Don't Breathe.
Don't Breathe.
Great movie. You know, I'm from Uruguay, South America, and this is the most Uruguayan Hollywood movie ever, because Fede Álvarez is the director.
Shout out to Fede. He's one of the nicest guys in the world, too.
I talked to him. He's
amazing. Yeah, he's awesome.
Fede's great. And he has the girl on the spider's web. Coming out soon in like a month or so, hoping that that's going to be a hit as well. It was written by a Uruguayan. The director of photography is also from Uruguay. So go Uruguay. But the movie is amazing. I'm talking about tension. I'm talking about Hitchcock. You can see that sometimes you don't need like a high concept, a very complicated story. Yeah. You can have a very simple premise. Mm-hmm. And it's about how you execute that premise. And from the beginning, you can feel that you're in the hands of somebody that knows about movies, that is very stylish.
And knows horror. Knows horror very well.
And how to create tension and to build on tension. So it's a very experiential thing, you know? Yeah. And I like, because the title is like telling the audience, don't breathe. I mean, you're going to be here for a couple of hours.
You can't.
Man. And it's kind of an exhausting experience, but in the best way possible. I'm not a fan of one moment in particular in the movie that has to do with, let's say, a kitchen utensil. Not a fan of that moment in particular.
But that was such a weird twist
To
the deal, right? Yeah. When they go down to the basement and they're like,
Oh my God, that one you just, I didn't see coming.
Could not predict any
of that.
There's
a double entendre in that, by the way.
Yeah. Twisted? Yeah, definitely.
Wow. You went there.
I went there.
You did it.
I'm sorry.
We're very carefully walking ourselves around this story so we don't give too much away, but...
And the last episode of the LAOM.
The LAOM. Yes, so I loved it too. And actually, when I did the interviews for that, I asked Fede, is that how you say it?
Fede.
You know, what was scary to him as a kid or whatever. And he said his cousins locked him in the basement for like five minutes. And he said it was the scariest. I go, that's awful. He goes, you're going to make me cry. Just thinking about it. But yeah, no, that's a really good one.
Terrific movie.
So those from true crime to horror, because Halloween is coming up. Mm-hmm. Speaking of Halloween.
I'm there, man.
Apparently, that's really good. So, moving on, we're going to talk about some of the hype that's come out of the Toronto Film Festival and the Telluride Film Festival. We're back to back. We're going to talk about some of the movies that came out of there and what their Oscar potentials are going to be. Because I don't know about you, but I had major FOMO that I wasn't at. It's like every tweet was like, oh, this movie is fantastic. Oh, this movie is amazing. And I'm like, oh, I know. We'll eventually see them.
Yeah,
just want to see them now so I can be in the know.
Oh, there's so many good ones.
But we saw it, Predator.
Yes,
yeah,
we did.
Yeah, we did. We got to see that. So,
welcome
hey.
To the jungle. Yeah. So, yeah, that's what we did. So the first one that I remember, actually was in Telluride and played at TIFF, was First Man, which is the story of Neil Armstrong, directed by La La Land director Damien Chazelle, starring Ryan Gosling, Claire Foy. Ryan Gosling plays Neil Armstrong. There's a little controversy around it as well.
Yeah. Which I
don't get it.
There are so many things going on right now to be outraged by.
The fact that we don't get to see Neil Armstrong plant the American flag on the moon is kind of low.
We're kind of we hear one little thing that happens in a movie and before we see the movie, and I'm just the royal we, I guess you could say, we get upset. Yep. Over, and we don't really know what the vision of the director was. We don't really know how it fits into the story. So I tried not to fall into that trap too much. But, we're in a world where Twitter, the outrage is just a lot of fun, you know. So I didn't really pay attention to that controversy, and I don't really care about it. I mean, I'll see the movie.
Yeah.
if it bothers me, then
yeah. Well, what do you guys think? I mean, do you think it's going to go all the way as far as Best Picture,
for
Gosling?
Sure.
Yeah, it'll get absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. And we talk about La La Land, you know, because of the collaboration, but Whiplash, and I think and I hope that this is going to be kind of the perfect match of those two films.
Yes.
We're going to have kind of the big scope.
They sing in space, right? They sing?
I hope
yeah,
so.
I think they do.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my darling.
Like, hello, my ragtime.
Yeah, baseballs. And so I hope that we're going to get that kind of, you know, huge scope that La La Land gave us, mm-hmm. but with a very intimate story and kind of a
character,
closer character and drama and thriller like Whiplash gave us.
Absolutely.
So I'm so excited about this movie. I usually don't like biopics, but at least this is a kind of biopic that is going to be kind of the most important period of time for the character. It's not like, you know, from the cradle to the grave. So I'm really excited. And Damien just said, I mean, the guy is a genius. Mm-hmm. He's younger than me, so it makes me feel very sad about so many things.
You still have your shot, Nestor.
Yeah, you do.
Hashtag sad Nestor.
Yeah.
Sad Nestor.
Sad Nestor. We're gonna
can you read some right
tears?
Yeah, no. And anything about the space program, I'm telling you. I mean, people just eat that up because it was a fascinating time period.
Yeah,
and
the
Right Stuff is a movie I watch every single time it's on as well. Mm-hmm. It's I can see how this could draw people in.
Oh, I think for sure it will. And Ryan Gosling.
Yeah.
He's very hot right now, and people really like it. He's great.
Yeah, maybe he'll... I don't think this is his movie, though, to win.
I think he'll get nominated, but I don't think he'll win. No.
Probably. Has he been nominated before? I can't even remember.
Wasn't he nominated for La La Land?
I think so.
I think so.
I'll have to look it up. All right. So while I'm looking it up, we'll talk about the next one. Actually, it's two movies I like to talk about, because Lucas Hedges... who was, Manchester by the Sea, which I thought he was brilliant in that. Young upcoming actor. He's on fire right now. He's having a moment.
Yeah.
He is having
every movie
a moment.
Yes,
he's got two movies coming up that everybody's talking about. The first one is Boy Erased, where he plays a young man whose parents, played by Nicole Kidman and Russell Crowe, I think, who are trying to cure him of his homosexuality.
Mm-hmm.
And I just heard amazing things about that.
Yeah, that sounds interesting.
And then the other one I heard about was Ben Is Back, where he plays a kid with an addiction problem, and Julia Roberts plays his mother. So she's got two very interesting, great actresses playing his mother. But yeah, both of these movies I've heard a lot of good things about.
As if I,
So do you think maybe he'll get... definitely he's going to get nominated, but
yeah, I think he might be too young to get the, I don't think he'd win
best actor.
But no. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think he's there yet, but
maybe for Boy Erased. I think if he were getting a best actor, it would probably be Boy Erased. I think the other one's more a Julia Roberts movie, and he plays, you know, it'd be like more supporting character. But
yeah,
I heard both.
Maybe he'll be one of those you know, that get the double double nominations for.
He's
best
been nominated for two Oscars, Mr. Ryan Gosling.
Yeah.
Two. And one of them was La La Land.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one was Half Nelson.
Half Nelson.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That's a good trivia question.
Yeah.
There you go.
Half Nelson. Do you know what movie I love of Ryan Gosling's? Is the one where, now I always forget it. Where he falls in love with the dummy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Shoot. Can't remember the name of it.
We're just bringing up movies.
Like
it's actually
there
really...
was that movie? Remember that movie? That one?
Yeah.
Remember you were in that movie?
He was great in Blade Runner.
You were really good in that movie.
I love Blade Runner.
I love Drive.
Lars in The Real Girl. Lars in The Real Girl.
There you go.
Now I feel like, what's his face? Remember that movie? You were really good in that
movie. Yeah. No,
Boy
Erased looks great. And it looks like the better version of that kind of story. We're seeing a couple of movies this year tackling the whole gay conversion therapy thing. There is something horrible that is still going on in some places here in this country and around the world. And I like the miseducation of Cameron Post, but I'm hearing that this one is kind of the next step
in
quality.
Yeah.
You know, so a lot of talent in front of behind the camera. So that one's going to be a contender.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's going to be a contender as well.
For sure.
Speaking of addiction, though, there's another movie coming out called Beautiful Boy, where Timothy Chalamet...
Another guy that's... getting a lot of acclaim. Yeah, he was fantastic in Call Me By Your Name.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I mean, wow.
Unbelievable. And, of course, Steve Carell, who's also having a hot moment this year.
Yeah.
Because he's got this movie, and then he's got Welcome to Marwen, which is the Robert Zemeckis movie that's coming up. I think everybody looks keeps really talking interesting. About it.
Yeah.
Talk about it. Yeah. But, yeah, this beautiful boy, again, it's a true story about, I guess, Steve Carell's character wrote the book about his son and, you know, and trying to get him out of the spiral of addiction. Interestingly enough, again, I'll have to mention Mr. Menzel because, you know, this is his show. But he did
our supreme leader, Scott.
He did not like Beautiful Boy as much as everybody else
I actually had heard from a couple people that it didn't get the acclaim that I think they're expecting. I heard a few mixed reviews of it. Yeah, yeah.
But when he was weighing Ben is Back with Beautiful Boy, he's saying Ben is Back was more impactful.
Oh, so interesting.
That's that. So we'll see. I'm looking forward to seeing them both. You know, I'll just wallow in the addiction world for a little while. Then we'll do like a double feature. No, I won't. Probably won't.
Put Leaving Las Vegas and Drugstore Cowboy in there. You got fun times.
Leaving Las Vegas is so devastating.
So
that I can't watch it again. It's been playing on cable. I'm like, do I? God,
a great double feature. I remember watching.
Elizabeth Shue is
marvelous. Watch that and watch Dead Men Walking right after. It's a blast. So much fun.
Rabbit Hole.
Yeah, rabbit hole, add that on there. Oh, my gosh. Fun times.
Nicole Kidman, yeah.
Fun times. Oh, my gosh.
There are some movies I just can't bring myself to watch again. They're so good, but I just... I think I've seen Leaving Las Vegas a few times. Schindler's List, I've never seen, but one time.
Yeah, one time is good.
One time.
Yeah.
Can't do it. It literally left me, you know, just devastated. I can't watch that one again. But anyway, A Star Is Born... That came out of TIFF and Telluride. Everyone's just losing their ever-loving minds over this movie. I can't, you know, I'm surprised. I guess I'm maybe not that surprised because it is a great story, but it's been done so many times.
It's been done.
This is
the fourth time. But here's the thing about that. It Bradley Cooper has gained a pretty decent amount of respect. He's a good actor. And he constantly seems to go a little further. And casting... Lady Gaga can sing, apparently. Yeah, she can sing a little bit. She's got a voice. So,
surprising.
I remember seeing that trailer and just, I was like, I shouldn't be as devastated as this. You know, when she's going to sing and everyone's going to be like, ah. But yeah, she sings and everyone's like, ah. It's amazing trailer. I cannot wait for this film.
Yeah.
I cannot wait. And I love that. I love that kind of music. That movie is, I'm in.
How about you, Nestor?
Yeah, no, I mean, I love the trailer and your name. You know that something good is coming when you have people like Clint Eastwood attached for a while, you have Steven Spielberg attached for a while, Beyonce was also playing for years.
Yep.
And Bradley Cooper, he's like the Ben Affleck of today.
Yeah.
You know, the guy that can do everything.
Yeah.
And... Yeah, I mean, that's not the genre that I usually like. I mean, I can say the same thing about La La Land, but when it is done in such a, you know, exquisite way and powerful way, you have to go with it and embrace it. So I hope that this one is going to be one of those. For me in particular, I have no doubts that it's going to be another contender.
No doubts not in it. It's Lady Gaga. Sorry. No.
And by the way, Lady Gaga pretty much impressed me in American Horror Story.
Yeah.
I said to myself, okay, she's actually got some chops there. So I am not surprised that she's wowing everyone with this.
Well, she also studied drama.
Yeah.
This is not new for her. And you see her music videos, you're like, okay, she's got the whole, she can do it. She can do this. I believe it. I believe in her.
Yeah, me too.
And she was in Machete Kills. I know her.
Yeah.
Oscar contender.
That won Best Picture, right?
In Our Hearts.
Or a Ratsy. Either of those.
Okay, yeah. There
in
you
the
go.
Alternate universe. The mirror universe. That's where he is.
The Bizarro. Bizarro Oscar. Yeah.
I got it. Got it.
The next one I want to quickly talk about, The Front Runner with Hugh Jackman, about Gary Hart. I remember all of that.
I do too. Yeah, that's a fascinating story.
He probably doesn't care.
Yeah, you don't care.
It is an interesting story because this senator, Gary Hart, he was like a shining beacon of hope for America, you know? I mean, he was before Clinton, right? That's right, yeah. And you know, he kind of had that sort of JFK kind of feel to him. And everyone was like, yeah, all right, we've got somebody who's really inspiring and he seems really genuine. And then all of a sudden, nope, he's got in a sexual scandal. Oh, well. Mm-hmm. And it just like, I mean, it just went from this to this so quickly. So I'm really excited to see Hugh Jackman do this.
Well, I mean, and I'm not going to get political, obviously, but you've got to be kind of excited and curious to see how that plays out in today's political landscape. Yes. That's really going to be fascinating to watch.
Yes, for sure.
And Hugh Jackman, talk about a guy that can do everything.
I know. And also the nicest person on the planet.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, literally the nicest
it's
person
really
on the planet.
Cool. Really nice guy.
Oh my gosh. And every time you talk to him.
I'm excited about, you know, Jason Reitman. He's having a great year with Tully.
Yes.
Yeah. I really like Tully. So,
do you think Charlize has a chance to take it all the way with Tully? I do too.
Yes, she does. She does. She's amazing. For me, it's the best female performance I have seen so far.
Female.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree with you.
And
I think she's got it.
Hopefully, we are not going to forget about her.
Yeah,
she has
it gets tricky because every, you know, Oscar tends to. What came out in December?
Yeah. and I think that Toni Collette may steal her thunder.
She's fantastic. I think
they both will. I really think that they both will go all the way. I mean, Hereditary was just.
Hereditary
like,
is wow. Yeah. Wow. It's like my family a lot, really. Yeah. I related.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Mm. Might want to move away a little bit there from your bromance.
In my mind, I already moved away. Like 30 minutes.
He's like gone. He's gone.
Okay, so the last movie we want to talk about that came out of TIFF is Widows. I watched this trailer and I went, yes, I want to see this movie. Steve McQueen clearly doing something completely different, you know, coming from 12 Years a Slave to this sort of crime drama. But Viola Davis and Elizabeth Debicki and Michelle Rodriguez, and they play these widows of their husbands who are in like a heist situation that goes wrong. And they kind of have to take the reins because the bad guys are coming after them. And it's just, I don't know. I'm completely involved in this. And it's co-written by Gillian Flynn, who's Gone Girl writer, the author of Gone Girl. So I'm like, I am there.
I
think it's going to be an Oscar contender.
Yeah.
Viola Davis, yeah.
But maybe the movie, if it's done. Because, I mean, Steve McQueen, you know, he's darling.
He's got a lot of love for the Oscars, from the Oscars, so I wouldn't be surprised at all. It looks great.
I mean, you know, the Oscars tend not to, to nominate something that's like a drama, a crime or whatever. But, you know, I always bring up Silence of the Lambs, which, by the way, apparently, that some Academy members are still mad that won Best Picture.
Wow.
That they did not think a movie like that should have won Best Picture.
Well, here, the problem with the Oscars, I won't go. Look, if we were to name, like, someone to get an Oscar nomination, I would love to see a lot of these. Like, I'd love to see Vera Farmiga for The Conjuring.
Oh, yeah.
I would love to see Jamie Lee Curtis, because I hear she's amazing in Halloween.
Yeah.
I would love to see them go that route. That probably won't happen. But, you know, it could. It's, you know.
Yeah.
We'll
Jamie Lee Curtis for Halloween, Best Actress.
Apparently, I heard that this Halloween also came out of TIFF. We're not an Oscar contender, probably, but got a lot of
fantastic. So.
Words of encouragement, but that it's kind of like a Straw Dogs, which that I read that and I went, okay, now I'm interested because I am not a Halloween fan.
I want to see her. Oh, Halloween's the best movie.
No.
Ever. Yes.
Traumatics. Teenager was forced to go with my friends, and I had to play, you know, it's like having to ride a roller coaster with your friends when you don't really want to, but you don't want to act like you're not cool. So anyway, it's not going to happen. So, but I'm curious about this. But anyway, I think I'm being told that we're out of time. Yeah,
we've gone too long.
But listen, this was a great conversation with you guys. Mwah, mwah, both of you, Jimmy and Esther, thank you. Thank you for joining us, and next week Scott will be back, and I'm pretty sure I'll see you at some point again too, so take care. I'm at The Movie Kit. My Twitter is at The Movie Kit.
I'm Jimmy O. You can find me on Twitter, you can find me on Facebook, James Oster, all that crap.
Find me at Nestor Cine, and Estorcine.
Alright, take care everybody, bye bye.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.